Hello, everybody. It's another week, another episode of Digital High from Entertainment Fuse. I am Aaron the Red. I guess that's what Marquise likes to hear. Also known as the Spicy Ginger. And of course, there's Marquise.
What is up?
And there's that other guy, prone to just annoy the piss out of me just for shits and giggles.
Fuck you too.
Lots of giggles. Gives me lots of
Love
giggles.
you, Will. Vincent.
No, you do stuff to annoy me too. You did an
What?
entire Smite match in your gay voice, your quote unquote gay voice, and we
Vince.
lost. We lost because it's just so
Vince, but
distracting.
they weren't playing nice, Vince.
You were
No.
distracted? Why is that distracting to you?
He's just mesmerized by my voice. It's okay. It happens. It's okay, Vince. Sometimes, there's a certain place called the closet. And sometimes some people just need to come out of the closet. It's
Is that why
okay.
my pants were getting tighter?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if that's what my voice is doing to you right now, that's fine. To each his own. That's not something I'm into. But you know what? You're here, and I'm gonna support you.
So imagine I had to kill people to that voice for like 20 minutes straight, over 20 minutes straight.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, we're
Oh, and I
streaming
streamed it too.
on
It was
yeah, we're
great.
streaming on Hitbox.
Yeah, it's on Hitbox. I streamed. It's actually saved on there as a video now.
Is that your guys' new go-to Hitbox now? You guys are done with Twitch?
We only do Twitch for PS4. I think if I get Justin's computer, his old computer, I'll probably do Twitch and Hitbox because I can do that same time. Well, with XSplit, yeah, XSplit. So I can stream on both sites, but I don't know if my computer could take it, depending on the game. I haven't tried it, but it's a possibility down the road.
Nice.
I'm kind of even hesitant to get into this big story of the week. It's just
Should we save
so.
that?
No, I just rather get it out of the way, which is Gamergate, and that's something I've been hearing it. I was like just seeing titles, seeing threads, seeing comments here and there. I really didn't look into it until today, and I kind of wish I never had because it's just so stupid. And I don't think any of us have right till today.
No.
No.
And
It
basically, it started at the origin, started at ground zero here.
We need an origin story or
Yeah, where the infection began and the pox started,
patient zero.
which would be from what I understand, Gamasutra and Lee Alexander's article based, and it's called "Gamers, quote unquote gamers, don't have to be your audience. Gamers are over." And basically, this Gamasutra, just like the first one, and then there are other like "Gamers are dead, gamers are over" type articles from other sites. But like this is like the starting point. This is the genesis, which it's like been all over Twitter and YouTube and all just everywhere. And basically, the article, it's weird. It's kind of an opinion piece. It kind of has no point. It kind of feels just like a troll article to me. I'll read a few snippets of this. Oh, let me find a good one.
In the meantime, I think he's right. It almost feels like a troll piece because here's the problem. I would not be against any sort of article except for opinionated articles. Usually those I'm against because if they're strictly opinionated without facts, then they're not really worth listening to. If you can back them up with facts, then it goes from saying an opinion article to actual editorial or feature article. It's something you're bringing up an actual point. You're not just speaking nonsense. You're making sense. You're using facts.
Here's a lot of just nonsense in this, but here's one. Suddenly, a generation of lonely basement kids had marketers whispering in their ears that they were the most important commercial demographic of all time. And like basically, the entire article is kind of just of this general insult to I guess anyone who calls himself a gamer. It's not. If she had targeted and said, "Okay, this is for the assholes who did the hacking last week or the week before. This is to the assholes who did death threats or rape threats to developers." I mean, I think she would have a point, but she never really targets who these gamers are. She just makes it sound like it's all gamers, all that all of us are bad at. It's not focused at all. It just feels like this. It just feels like she not a chip on the shoulder would be an understatement. It feels like she has a cinder block on her shoulder, and she's just venting. Like it's no solutions really in this article. It's no like this is the problem with gaming. This is how we fix it. It's just like I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. Article over. Fuck you all. Goodbye. Like that's it.
Yeah, I mean I've read through most of it. I'm just trying to find like is it the gamers that do things in real life that she's upset about that are like people who do like hacking like and actually do acts in you know that affect real world things, or is it the online like community of people that you know are really you know egregious with their language and you know the way that they go at people who may not be as talented or skilled as them in multiplayer games or you know.
She does link. She does link to other articles saying she says all of us should be better than this. You should deeply be questioning your life choices if this, and all of these thises are hyperlinks to other articles.
Yeah, see, that's just SEO shit. Like, I'm not gonna go click that shit. So like that, it's not in her article. You know what I mean? Like, it's a link to something else, so it's not there.
Yeah,
so.
She just says this, and this, and that links to like I think it was that one was a hacking story, two were death and rape threat stories.
Yeah,
but the thing is, who does that? Like, that's just. Obviously, that's a 1% crazy percent of gamers. Like, it's not normal gamers don't do rape threats to developers or death threats to developers. And going by videos I saw, it was actually death and rape threats to male and female developers, not just female developers.
No, that can't be. I mean, come on. So, it's only the women that get death threats and rape threats. I mean, it's not like men are constantly getting that every single day alongside women. It's because we're all fucking humans. We have to deal with crazy assholes left and right. Come on, Vince. That's not the truth. Women get death threats and rape threats and things of that nature. It's not like men, the stereotypical thing, which in prison they are threatened with death and rape, and that's why it has such a horrible depiction of itself. Nah, come on, Vince. Tell the truth.
And she talks about internet communities as far as like the big sites. And in case like people listening are thinking like, oh, Lee Alexander sounds familiar. A couple months ago when we did the whole like certain females were on Twitter they were upset that the Giant Bomb at the moment is pretty much all white guys. But it's only, 4 to 6 like main guys at Giant Bomb. It's not like,
I mean, they have like different teams now. They've recently like expanded.
It's not like it's IGN that has dozens of people.
No, and one black guy that I can think of that works there. That's pretty cool. And but
Lee Alexander is one of the women who who's a part of that. And I believe, and I actually remember her. I am a fan of Giant Bomb. I had more so in the past. I had more time to listen to their long podcasts and look at their sometimes long videos. It's kind of time consuming now, but I still like those guys. I like their content. But I remember her being on there a little bit. And when the whole Giant Bomb thing started, I remember her. One of her quotes was like, I want to find it. You guys talk. I don't want to misquote her.
Yeah, well, you look that up. Like looking at the. Sorry, Aaron, but looking at the. I mean, I think maybe. Discussing more like it's more constructive to discuss like her argument about like what is a gamer anymore. Like I feel like that's a conversation that could be had, and then you know apart from what is a gamer, there are what does like the gaming community produce in regards to like attitudes, right? You have people who are looking for like a cooperative opportunity or looking to, you know, make friends or, you know, just socially interact. There are other people who are looking to create anarchy, right? Plain and simple. There are people looking just to troll and to make your experience as displeasing as possible so that, you know, they can continue to do it for whatever that brief, moment of enjoyment is. So, those are two separate arguments. Like what is a gamer nowadays? Because I guess, you know, we can talk about like the term of nerd or geek becoming cool. Is gamer too cool now to where, you know, something else that's more exclusive needs to be developed in order for people to feel more special about playing video games? Then fine. Like I'm fine to have that conversation, but separate from, I can have that conversation, but a separate one about the attitudes of people who play video games and the way that they express themselves. Those are two different conversations.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be so antagonistic. Like, this is basically going up to someone and saying, why are you such an asshole? Like, you don't, it doesn't have, if you actually want to have a real conversation, you don't say that to somebody. You just say, you know, are you having a bad day? You don't say, why are you being an asshole or a cunt or a bitch today? Like, that's just, you're starting off on the wrong foot. You're antagonizing them, and it's just going to lead to an argument. And actually, I did find the Twitter post she did. And it was, getting back to work, literally everything I write is more interesting than everything most of the GB staff does, by haters. And GB staff is Giant Bomb. So this is her from a couple months ago when that whole thing erupted.
Yeah, we talked about that before.
Yeah.
I can't believe this shit is still going on. It's so fucking bullshit. We're saying the same shit we said for two fucking months. Yeah. Oh my God. But
that shit,
okay,
that's why I can't take her serious. This is why, she's trolling.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, let's just record all this shit, and the next week we'll just hit play, and like, there's the next episode of Digital High. There's the next thing for everything for fucking all of this, as far as this conversation can go. It's so fucking bullshit. Like, Marquise, you're talking about, like, the definition of a gamer. The thing is, I've seen most people, like Boogie, you watched that video, Vince, of course,
yeah,
have a different opinion of him, which is fine. But the thing is,
I thought it was fine. I didn't dislike him. I didn't dislike.
Well, I know. That's what I'm just saying. I like Boogie. I think he's a very funny guy. He's also opinionated, but he does it in a very solid manner. He does not attack. He goes things in a very logical way. But regardless of that, if you play games and you call yourself a gamer, you're a fucking gamer. It doesn't fucking matter. Are you a pro gamer? Probably not. Are you a cyber athlete? No. Are you a casual gamer? If you wish to be called that, it doesn't fucking matter. If you play only Minecraft and that's it, you're not a Minecrafter. If you want to be calling yourself a gamer or just a guy who plays games, whatever, or a girl, however you wish to be depicted as, that's your fucking opinion. It doesn't matter what other people say. And that's the thing.
Right. I mean, nomenclature is nomenclature, right? Like, I mean, these terms can constantly be redefined and rebranded and reexamined over and over again. But I mean, I don't know if she's just upset that, like, people have found just a very simple way to say, like, I play video games, so therefore I am a gamer. And if that is, like, too much, then, you know, then let's have that discussion. Like, what is her opinion on what people call themselves who play video games now? Like, what are all of the terms? Like, let's talk about that and see if, like, you know, people who then are argumentative or disruptive on the internet, if they fit into any of those categories too, that are, again, ambiguous, because, again, who really cares about any of these categories? Everyone's just trying to, you know, enjoy a video game. I'm not exactly sure, like, what, I mean, and I'm fine with someone writing an angry article, like, look, this is my experience with people who play video games, my experience only, and then it may not be shared by anybody else. And then the commenters or whoever shares this or, you know, comments and critiques this can then comment and say if they agree with that's or if they share that experience. But without saying this is my experience, it just means she is the overlord of all.
It doesn't even have a point though. That's my weird thing. It's just odd generalizations. And just another, like, sentence or two from the article is, game culture, quote, as we know it, is kind of embarrassing. It's not even culture. It's buying things, spackling over memes, and in jokes repeatedly. It's getting mad on the internet.
You know how much that pisses me off?
You can say that about movies. You can say the same thing about cars. You can say the same thing, especially about movies, comic books. Like, all of these entertainment things are based off buying something and enjoying it. I mean, saying it's not a culture because you buy things it makes no sense whatsoever.
It's just the problem is, it seems like how she's going on attack, and she's doing it out of rage. You know what? Like you said, Marquise. If she's just complaining, bitching, raging, whatever you want to term it as, that's fine. But don't make it like an actual, like, trying to make it into a
fight. Right, it's fine. Yeah, it's like, stand on that on your own and just say, like, this is how I feel right now.
I'm angry because
of gamers are doing these things.
Right.
And that's fine. As long as you can say, like, I'm owning this for myself right now.
Yeah, that's a blog post right there. That's not an article. That's someone going online and be like, you know what? I got a vent. That's it. And I think we're all guilty of that. Just, we've had a
I don't even know if it's a guilty thing. It's just like, I'm sure everyone here is as written something that they're like, no, I'm just saying, I feel like this needs to be said, and like I want someone to know that, like, if someone else feels like that out there, like, I feel this right now. Yeah, and that's cool. That's fine.
We've all done that before. Like, I'll fully admit, like, when I was streaming for, like, originally, and he wouldn't stop about the whole, like, it's only one viewer kind of thing, and kept going. Yeah, I'll admit that after a while, because after a few minutes, I start getting into my skin. But guess what? It doesn't bother me now. You get it out of your system as a normal person would. You just go, whatever, and you move on. You it's a criticism. You either use it or you ignore it, one or the other. Or you use it to be like, okay, you know what? This person doesn't know what they're talking about, and here's why. And you actually use it in a positive manner. And this way, I don't think she used it as a positive manner in any way, shape, or form. I mean, look at, like, kind of – I hate to say it, but, like, our history. Gamers, as far as people that are probably, like, of our generation – or at least I can safely say of my generation, my age group, we've done with a lot of fucking bullshit. I know I got picked on a lot being a video game player. Back before, gamer did not exist. You were a video game player or video gamer, I guess. And we had to go through things such as Columbine and had to get dirty looks and thinking, you know, is he going to start shooting up the school any day? You know, he gets picked on a lot too. I don't know. And had to deal with that kind of shit all the time. And how Fox News goes off on Mass Effect saying it's this and that and be caught red-handed in absolute yellow journalism and still to this day did not apologize for it. And what do we get out of it? More of this kind of bullshit.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to call her idiot or idiots, plural, but, like, I mean, it's just a matter of, like, just I mean, I'm fine with you. If someone wants to generalize, that's fine, but say that, you know, just stand on your own and say, like, look, this is my opinion. It's not shared by, it may be shared by others, but I'm going to talk about how I feel right now about how the state of gaming is, and that's fine, like, but if that's not said anywhere in this, then I don't know what this is other than what Vince has said. It's just, like, kind of, it feels like a troll a little bit.
And she was on, Aaron, you listened to it, right? She was on a girl gamer podcast. A part of Grantland. And I still don't really get where, even listening to her talk for like over 20 minutes, I couldn't finish it because it kind of got annoying. But listening to her talk for 20, 30 minutes, I still don't get what her point was. It just seemed like she was just in this wildly insulting gamers. And that was it. I actually, once again, I do like her quotes, even though they're just insane and stupid and mean, but they're funny because just something she said was, it's not a club for angry boys anymore.
Jesus,
we don't do scores anymore. We're beyond that. So basically, she's saying, like, she kind of just hints, like, okay, in a pretentious way, you know, real sites don't do scores. We're more than just like a buying guide.
Yeah, that was the fucking bullshit. Like, gaming journalists now have gone beyond gaming reviewers or being reviewers. No, not really. Mm-hmm. It's just certain people are not specifically game reviewers. There are some people that's all they do, and they're good at it. And you know what? They're probably content doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
So let them be that thing. Don't say as if you're making a statement and it's a fact that game journalists nowadays are no longer simply game reviewers. You can say they'll think game journalists can be game reviewers and game reviewers cannot be game journalists or some bullshit like that. But the fact of the matter is, you can't just say, oh, it almost makes it like we've evolved from that. It's like, you know what? That's the same kind of shit that's been said before.
It just sounds pretentious.
It does.
And pretty much everybody uses a rating system. Cars use it, movies, TV shows, books, comics, like every medium that has a rating system has numbers or stars. Like,
and even that is an opinion. It's not a fact. It's just an opinion.
Yeah.
Right. And even then, most places you have to use a communal sort of rating systems. Like, the average rating of 2,000 people is 3.5 stars. Like, okay, so on average, it's about even. But even then, if you're that interested, you're going to want to read each person's, like, little thing about it. It's like, oh, when I start, it sucked. So, like, well, I'm going to ignore that 1-star rating and continue on.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, sure. I don't want to give it too much attention. It seemed like I don't really get why this is such a big deal. Like, it's obviously a dumb article that's meant to be flame bait. And so I don't, you know, want to talk about it any further. We're giving it too much attention already.
it's a plea for critical acclaim, done.
Sayeth Vincent.
And, I mean, I will give Lee Alexander credit for starting fires. Like, she's really good at trolling and flame baiting. I would give her credit for that. But moving on to the next story, or I actually didn't play this game, man. I'm sorry to say, but are either of you excited for a Shadow Colossus movie?
I think it has potential, but at the same time, I don't know what they're going to do with it because nothing was said throughout it except for like the weird black mist or god, I guess. I forgot. It's been so long since I played Shadow of the Colossus, but I don't think that was supposed to be a god or just god in general in that sense of that world, there being a singular deity. But even then, it didn't speak English. It required subtitles. It didn't speak any sort of earthbound language. It was just like more ancient than Latin, if anything. And all it was is you going across on your horse and trying to kill giants in hopes of basically resurrecting your dead girl. And the whole thing, if I remember, it does tie in with the game Eco, because I believe the girl comes to life and she has a kid who has horns, I think, or something weird like that. You die, because like, every time you kill one of the colossi, you give you take in a bit of like their poison, their essence, which is like poisonous to you.
Did you play it, Marquise?
I always wanted to. I never did. Although I kind of watched like a few like playthroughs of it, so I kind of feel like I played it. Like the game itself seemed amazing. Like for the period that it came out. I don't know how this. Well, I mean, I guess it could be a pretty cool movie. I don't know though. Like Aaron was just saying, like how much communication is going to actually be done in it. So is it just going to be like a really cool set piece that's just, you know, kind of like a, you know, like a visual, like visual candy versus, you know, linguistic art, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I have seen a lot of footage of it and seen people playing it. It seems like that is a hard tone, like hard visual tone and just like writing to, like what exactly is the plot?
What's the protagonist, I think it could be easy, like easy visual tone, you know?
I think it could be easy to be flash, but what's the substance? Right. Like, I think can be the hard part. And basically, the actual story of this is that Josh Trank, who did Chronicle, he's doing the next two Fantastic Four movies, and he's doing the Star Wars movie after Abrams. He was attached to this, but now it's going to be Andres Machete. I am not good at foreign names. I am sorry. But he directed Mama, which starred Jessica Chastain.
Mama's so good.
Was it?
I love Mama. I hated the ending. I want to
clear. I saw it at the ending. I was like, this is so
bad. Everything else was pretty cool. I thought it was a very cool thing. I thought it was pretty unique. It didn't rely on jump scares. It did kind of build on it. Like, there's even supposed to be times where it was just creepy. It wasn't scary. Like, the girl that was, like, playing with Mama, and Mama was playing with the little girl. That wasn't scary. It's like, that's just fucking creepy. It's, like, right there. But the ending was bullshit. That was really dumb. That was artistic kind of, like, you know, what the hell?
Don't say what, but yeah, I haven't seen it. I might check it out now just to see. I know this going from Mama to Shadow Colossus might be weird to vision in your mind. But did anything from that give you hints that he might be good?
Oh yeah,
he might be a good fit for this.
Oh yeah, I mean if you look at the artistic design of Mama and the Colossi. I mean the Colossi are, you know, they don't even seem to have anything that's even. I don't want to say real except for eyeballs. Even like the very first one, if I remember right, it looks more like a giant oxen. And that thing doesn't even seem to have a mouth. It's two giant eyeballs. And there's another one in which same thing. It's like they don't appear to have anything in order to be self-sustaining for themselves. You know, not even a nose, a mouth to breathe from. It's like, are these things completely immortal? You know, are they just actual like titans, as in they don't need to eat or sleep or anything, they just exist. And like with Mama, she was just like at times a pile of hair or just a very creepy lady thing. And it's just, I can definitely see the art style and presentation of Mama being used in Shadow of the Colossus, because the colossi themselves can be scary at times. They're not all of them are giant titans. There's one that looked like maybe size of a dire tiger. I think it's a lizard.
And the screenwriter at the moment looks like it's going to be Seth Lockhead. And he wrote Hannah. Actually, I did see Hannah. I liked Hannah.
Yeah, Hannah was pretty cool.
That was a good one.
So, it sounds like this could be shaping up to be an actual like good video game movie, and it's being done by Sony Pictures. So just like all of that combined could be a good movie. Like hopefully, like between this and Fassbender doing Assassin's Creed, like hopefully one of those would give us our first good video game movie.
So quick, what's the best one then? What's the best video game movie you've ever seen?
They all suck, but the least worst was probably Hitman, I guess.
Hitman, really?
Are we talking live action films in general or all video game based?
Something that came out in a theater, particularly.
The problem is to remember every single one that came out.
Hitman, Tomb Raider, Max Payne.
Max Payne had the best trailer. I think we talked about this before. It had the best trailer.
I don't remember ever talking about Max Payne.
Max Payne.
Well, we talked about how stupid the movie was and how that shit like sold me on a trailer, and it was the shittiest movie ever. Gosh, the trailer for that movie was so dope. So dope.
It was so dope.
It was. You know what? While Aaron thinks about it, it wasn't. Yeah. While Aaron thinks about it, I think the best movie based on a video game was probably Silent Hill. I thought that shit was good.
I didn't like that movie that much.
Why? Were you creeped out?
Well, I've actually never played Silent Hill video games, but I've never really been scared by a movie. It didn't scare me.
It wasn't scary.
It just seemed boring.
I thought it was interesting. It had its creepy moments. It wasn't scary, but it definitely had its creepy moments. Ultra violent. More ultraviolet.
That's a Sean Bean. Isn't he in that?
Does he
die?
No, he doesn't.
Oh. He's supposed to die in every movie.
I can't. If I had to pick one, it has to be live action. If it wasn't live action.
We know.
It doesn't necessarily. Well,
I knew he was going to say that shit.
But if it has to be live action. Resident Evil. I kind of like the first.
You like.
Yeah, you're the first one was you're cool. Insane.
Not the it first was one was not terrible.
Do you think that's better than Hitman?
Yeah. It was more fun. Hitman at times got a little bit too wordy. It's like, okay, just keep talking. Yep, just keep talking.
You got too thought provoking.
Keep talking.
It was too deep for you, Aaron.
Action based stealth killing game. It had a shitload of talking in that movie. It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
Kill fucking zombies. The early on, it is a bit slow, but even then, they're just trying to keep you going. The pacing was slow in Resident Evil in the beginning, but once the shit hit the fan, then it started actually being what it was. But even then, it kind of followed pace with the actual game.
They even tried to have the movie in a mansion, which was interesting.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like the very first, if you remember the very first Resident Evil, it was slow from the word go. There weren't a lot of zombies left and right. It was like you had to go find the room first, and then all of a sudden there's the one creepy CGI scene, which like the guy with white skin looks like he's got blood smeared on his lips, and he comes after you. Mm. And of course, you can either choose to kill the zombie or to simply run away. And even then, it's just a single zombie made a different in that game. So I think the movie did pretty well as far as an adaptation to the game.
Yeah, I think you're on your own, Vince, with Hitman.
I don't think it's a good movie. I just think it sucked the least.
There's a lot of game movies coming up there, supposedly, like they're announced here. I see like Minecraft, Shadow of the Colossus, obviously, The Last of Us, Gran Turismo, Mortal Kombat reboot, Splinter Cell, Deus Ex, Just Cause, Tomb Raider reboot, Mass Effect, Sly Cooper, Metal Gear Solid, fucking really, Angry Birds, Uncharted, Warcraft. A lot of these, in all honesty, I don't want to watch these. I don't.
Some of those sound good, though. I think Mass Effect easily could work. And you named one other one that sounded good.
Splinter Cell?
Yeah, Splinter Cell. I think any of the Tom Clancy stuff could easily.
Well, yeah, but that's because it's Tom Clancy. But the thing is, like, how accurate?
That's because it's grounded. I'm just lying. Like, Mass Effect is basically to a degree Star Trek, so it's easy to translate over. Oh, yeah. But the Tom Clancy stuff is more or less terrorism based, which could just be almost like a cooler 24 movie, like Jack Bauer 24.
But that, right? therein lies a kind of problem. They could be just simply a 24 movie, and that's it. It's like, You could just made call this 24 the movie. That, how is this Splinter Cell? And that's a problem. It's like the same thing can happen with any of these things.
Well, I'm just saying just the basic idea of it being counterterrorism. Sam Fisher is pretty different from Jack Bauer.
Well, I know. Hmm. I'm not wanting to split hairs or anything like that, but the thing is most video games don't translate well into movies because when you go from an interactive medium to something you just simply watch, you might as well just be playing Metal Gear Solid at that point. It's just you lose a lot of translation, I guess. You know,
mm-hmm.
where the whole thing is the player immerses himself in the story because they are a part of the story. The story does not exist. It cannot continue without the player. And this movie, the movie goes on. Whether you're watching or not, it fucking happens. And if you're able to catch up and keep up with what's going on, that's your fault. Ain't our problem.
But I think Mass Effect and The Last of Us have an advantage in that area, cause especially Mass Effect 1, that didn't have like the greatest gameplay. It was just more about the characters and the story and the world. And The Last of Us, the gameplay was fine, but it's more this world and those characters and the dialogue and, you know, their expressions and things like that. That's what, at least for me and for most of the people I know in reviews I read and stuff, that was the carrot on a stick, not necessarily the gameplay, even though the gameplay was fine. So I think The Last of Us and Mass Effect have an advantage. Like, Splinter Cell is pretty much all about the gameplay. I can't recount any major characters or story details from Splinter Cell because it's just about the gameplay being fun, right. And that's about it.
I mean, that's the thing. Certain things have a good possibility. Like, Warcraft actually has a pretty decent story behind it. It's got some pretty good lore. Your opinion. But, I mean,
thank you for telling me this. I love people that use...
Well, don't think you're like, man. You're instantly like, man. Have you ever even played a single Warcraft game?
It's Lord of the Rings. Like, screw that.
No, not really.
I don't remember fantasy.
I don't remember Lord of the Rings having orcs siding with demons in order for them to gain power, in which they gained it through drinking demonic blood that was actually sort of an elixir. Gained more power, but also changed their skin tone from green to red, marking them as a sort of evil or different orc, and they became slaves to demon overlords. I remember that happening in Lord of the Rings.
I remember that.
You remember when the orcs drank demonic blood in Lord of the Rings?
Yes, I did. But no, the point is, I prefer different types of fantasy. I don't like it when it just feels like a Lord of the Rings clone. And to me, Warcraft, WoW, whatever, feels like a Lord of the Rings clone. Like, I prefer, at least Dune isn't the best thing ever, but at least Dune is different. Dune isn't freaking Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's a different setting. There's no forest. There's no woods. There's no...
It's not medieval Europe.
It's not
with demons.
It's dirty. It's dust. Sure. I get it. Yeah, man. Shadow of the Colossus has potential. Yes. It has potential.
Yeah.
It
needs a bomb script.
More of a blockbuster, I get a feeling. I kind of get a feeling that if they go too far, they may be seen as a bit too artsy, because... Shadow of the Colossus might have a little bit too much symbolism for people, so it could be nice if they go more of a kaiju route kind of thing, you know, focus on that. The whole thing like, this is a love story, a man fighting giant monsters for the love of his life. Who's dead? It's like, wait, what?
I'd rather them go artsy and weird than, it should be like a big October, November release and not some cool action summer movie.
I don't know, because the problem is when you do that, then you get some things that might be lost to interpretation. If you go too artsy, then the person's like, this is how I saw it happen. It's like, all right, Mr. Writer, let's see how you interpret it as. Holy shit, okay, what happened? Like, you look at Resident Evil. That's how they interpreted Resident Evil as it stands right now. As a what the fuck kind of thing.
Hmm.
I do mean what the fuck, like what the fuck happened.
I mean, we kind of got like a mini short film live action thing of Destiny this week with their Become Legend live action trailer. What did you guys think of that? All right, Marquise, what did you think of that? I know how Aaron.
I thought it was fine. I mean, it was cool.
Are you looking forward to Destiny? I obviously know how Aaron feels about it, but how do you...
I think everyone knows how you two feel about it. I am looking forward to it because I didn't play the beta, just because I didn't want to I didn't want to. Like, I just wanted to hear opinions on it. I didn't want to actually play it. And, like, the resounding reverberations were that it was fine and that it was good. So, like, I'm going to dismiss your opinion and Aaron's on
how
this.
Dare
and
you?
I'm,
how
and
dare
I'm going,
you? Who are you going to trust? who the hell are you going to trust? You gonna trust us? Or are you going to trust these random assholes out there?
These random assholes?
Yeah. We're the assholes you know. Like, you don't want to trust random ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's always better to trust the asshole you know, man. Always
I mean,
better.
I am rooting for Destiny. I think both of us want it to be a good game. It's just...
I don't know about that.
No,
I'm not giving you credit for that.
I want every game, every TV show, every movie to be great. But the problem is, there's this thing called reality. And most of the time, most things aren't great. But if it was up to me, everything would be great. But from what I've seen of Destiny and everything, it's not going to be great. I mean, I don't think it's going to be awful. I think it's going to, from just me, my gut reaction, what I played and everything, it's probably going to be like a 7-point-something, 8-point-something maybe. But I don't think it's going to be like, oh, my God, game of the year that many people are expecting. I hope I'm wrong. I'd rather it be a 10 than a 7. But I mean, this trailer is okay. It was fine. I'm not really a fan of live action stuff anyway. It just feels more like, you know, just a commercial to get, I don't know, more casual gamers or just to get attention. It's not really a reflection of the game. I thought some of the dialogue was a little corny. I don't get why there was gravity. Did that bother anyone else? Like, they're on the moon, they're on Mars.
Well, because remember the Traveler, he changed things. He did a lot. I'm not kidding. The Traveler showed up and, like, he gave Venus an atmosphere and he changed. Or, no. He made, like, Venus the equivalent of Earth almost, and he gave Mars, like, an atmosphere so you can actually, like, walk on Mars and you can cultivate it and they can terraform it easier. The Traveler showed up and it's supposed to be, like, the Golden Age, in which our entire solar system was now inhabitable. So we weren't just trapped on our one planet. We can go and explore Venus and Mars, and that's where the whole thing, it's like, oh, there's, like, ruins and things like that you can go check out on Venus and Mars and the moon and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So he gave the moon gravity, is what you're saying.
Yep. Well, technically, okay. Moon has gravity, just less than the Earth.
Well, yeah, he gave it Earth gravity. He gave every planet in our solar system Earth gravity.
Yep.
Okay.
He's Jesus of space. He's space Jesus. Except he didn't come back from the dead. So, the problem. Okay. Here's my one thing about this, in which basically, it shows a lot of things you can't do in the game. And I fucking hate that about these kind of trailers. It shows like this, she's looking through the binoculars. Someone's looking through the binoculars or the scope, whatever. Why that's there, I don't know, because that you don't have that sort of tool in the game. Knock, knock, and then someone busts out the rocket launcher, and then they shoot the door open. It's like, you don't do that in the game. At least you haven't up to now. So if you could, that'd be cool. That would definitely, you know, pull me back into Destiny a little bit if you can actually do
destructible you can blow doors.
Yeah, if you can have a destructible environment, oh fuck yeah, man, sign me up. That'd be fun.
If it was just doors? What if you could just blow up doors?
That in itself, because it's like, I wonder what's behind this door. Kaboom! Nothing. Oh well.
You would spend $60 on the game.
No,
if you could
I'd
blow
rent
up
it.
Doors.
I'd be okay. More inclined to rent it. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't go out and like, oh, I'm gonna buy the deluxe edition, $100, babe. No. No, I'd be more likely to rent it. But it just, again, I almost felt like they're cashing in on sort of Guardians of the Galaxy here. I mean, listen to the song that's going on. It just kind of fits that motif in which basically it's a classic rock song playing in the background while a bunch of people or a pack of people are just going on kicking ass. And it's just like, does no one see like kind of a little hint of Guardians of the Galaxy they're kind of piling on this? It's like these people are like wisecracking. It's like, Venus, woo, Venus, baby. It's like, okay.
It crossed my mind, but I don't think they're actually copying.
No, I don't mean copy. I mean like use, like.
I think it's more of a coincidence than intentional.
I don't know. You can't tell me. It's not a little bit. I'm saying a little bit.
The thing is, though, they will only, just from me guessing how executives think, they will only do that once Guardians came out and it became the biggest summer movie of the year. Because before that, it was kind of iffy on how well it would do. And that only happened, about a month ago. I don't think they will have enough time to film this, do post-production, and do everything else in 4 or 6 weeks.
So putting over that classical song would take over a month?
I'm just saying as far as the idea of them being wisecracking and all the other stuff.
Well, no, because that in itself is sort of like, I don't say stereotypical, but was to be expected, because this is not a serious game. When you're playing with your buddies, you're not gonna be like, okay, men, today we reclaim the moon. It's like, no, all right, guys, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go and do this raid zone today. You gotta make sure be careful with this boss. This is what he does. You do it in a different way. You're not playing Destiny seriously. This is not going to be like, you know, a WoW raid or anything like that. You know, this is definitely going to be like, let's go in guns a-blazing and have fun. And that's it. There's no real complexity to Destiny.
Yeah, I mean, this dialogue wasn't great, but it was better than a lot of the Ubisoft stuff where people are taking it super serious.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I did like about it. It's just kind of saying, this is just plain goofy fun. You do not take this seriously. This is how you're supposed to act to it. And I think if they would have been taking this approach before, I'd like it a little bit better, because this is more like a Call of Duty approach almost. It's like, this is just zany, wacky, action-packed fun.
Yeah, because their story, from what we've seen so far, isn't good enough to be this serious sci-fi drama. Story? Yeah, it's a big white ball. Gives magic powers to fight the darkness. Like, go screw yourself. Like, no, this is like them being silly makes more sense.
No, that's how he just summarized it perfectly. The traveler dies, I think, but there's still the voice of the traveler. And apparently, when the traveler died, he gave his power to certain people, and that's how we have guardians.
Mm-hmm.
All right, don't ruin any more of this story for me, okay? I really want to play it myself.
Are you being serious?
No, baby.
There is no story. Well, what are you talking about?
No, but seriously, like, I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, at least trying out. It's not terrible. It's just,
it's not good. Is it not good?
Poorly executed and very vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Does it suck the least of all the Bungie games?
Does it suck the least? I like the past Bungie games.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Halo because that kind of, I don't want to say revolutionized, but showed what a good shooter should be.
Not revolutionized is fair, I think.
Yeah, a console shooter. Yeah.
As a console shooter, yes, definitely. That definitely set the bar. So, but I mean, that's the problem. That's why I think that's why I'm not a big fan. It's like Bungie is the Cliffy B of the gaming industry, seems like. They need
what that means.
They are put out there because they made a really cool game, and Cliffy B, he was attached to Gears of War. So, of course, now Cliffy B is like, he was the name. It's like, it's Cliffy B. It's like, the only reason you say Cliffy B is because a lot of you cannot pronounce his last name. That's why it's called Cliffy B. It's probably, he even got tired. Don't even try. Just B. Just Cliffy B, please.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to do, but let's move on. And actually, this next story has to do with Destiny, too. And it might interest a certain one of you. And next week, if you get an Xbox One, depending on the U.S. Retailer you get it from, you'll get a free game of your choice that has a $60 value. And some of those include Diablo 3, Titanfall. Diablo 3 Ultimate Evo Edition, Titanfall, Watch Dogs, Destiny, and a few other games.
Garden Warfare, woot woot.
Madden, Forza.
Which console is it? Is it the $4.99 or $3.99 one? Which one?
I'm not sure. The store doesn't say which one.
It just says Xbox One.
Do they still sell the $500 one?
Yes,
they do. Still a thing? Okay.
Yeah, I'd imagine either one, probably.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Would you hop on this? Or you could just get like Destiny or some other game next week?
Yeah, actually, I think I would. I think I would, actually. I mean, I would even go so far as to say, like, if you were to get Diablo, like, I would just get Diablo on the Xbox, too. Like, and just have them both.
I'm not going
to
get Diablo.
All right, last of me.
I'll get Destiny.
Okay, well then I might have to cop this.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're making it such a small window. Like, why don't they just open up for the whole month? Like, hey, September is like free month.
It feels like this is almost like their bootleg Destiny promotion, because I'm guessing like Sony and Bungie and Activision have this deal, and Microsoft can't directly promote Destiny and Xbox, and like this is almost like their workaround. Of like, it's Destiny Week, and here you can get Destiny or these other games for free. But hey, it's Destiny Week. That's the feeling I get.
But it doesn't say so you think part of that deal is why you don't see Destiny on this actual ad? Because it's not on the ad.
Yeah, I think maybe the Sony deal has something to do with that, or maybe they're only showing games that are out on that on that picture, and Destiny isn't out yet.
So any game basically is free. That's a pretty cool deal. I mean, you get the $3.99 plus a free game. Like that's kind of similar to the deal that they had going last fall, right?
I don't recall. Last fall.
Yeah, there was like briefly a deal where like you could get like Titanfall in your console for like.
Oh, I remember they bundled it in March.
Yeah, right.
In March they had bundled Titanfall and the Xbox One. So yeah, okay, we might be playing Destiny together next week. I want Destiny to be great. If I buy Destiny, it'll just be out of boredom. I'm not expecting anything great. It's either buy Destiny or play Smite
or get money so I can use that money to actually spend on something good.
No,
well, if you're just throwing money away, Vince, you know,
$60. It's like $60 is some huge investment, but it's
Oh, you got it like that?
It's like
send me $60.
I get Destiny, or I wait until November to play Dragon Age. I think I just rather I don't want to. I like Smite, but I want to play other games this year.
Yeah, I can't listen to too much more Smite talk until I get an Xbox, so I can actually play it.
I think you talked about Hearthstone more than you talked about Smite.
You smother my Hearthstone talk with a fucking red pillow made of stone in which you beat over my head, so I can't talk about it. You kill my Hearthstone talk all the time.
All right, here's this. This next story is about Hearthstone. Here you go.
Man, you guys see how he set that up? Wow, that's a pro right there. A pro asshole, right?
that is on my business card. But Aaron, give us this the load on this. Like, what's the lowdown on this next story about Google anti-hacking and Hearthstone?
Well, it wasn't like anti-hacking. It's like the Google's anti-hacking chief, and which he used a way in order to analyze the next opponent's deck. I think, if I remember right, see,
he came up with an algorithm that
could
predict pretty damn close to what the next card was going to be.
Yeah, it was just like, the thing is, with that, it doesn't really matter that much, because if what you have in your hand isn't changed in any way, then it doesn't matter what's coming up next. You know, it's like knowing what's going to happen in any sort of card game. Unless you can change what is in your hand right then and there, it doesn't matter. Because it's like, oh, I'm going to play... What's a good card in Hearthstone, Marquise?
Oh, shit, it depends. Man, if you're playing with the Hunter, you can always do summon a random for 3. Does any of this sound interesting to you, Vince, by the way?
I wasn't even listening.
He's dumped out. He's just playing like the Destiny Live over and over. Probably.
Yeah, fuck him. The way I roll as a mage, right?
Okay.
I usually
roll. Are we talking about Smite or her mages?
Oh, hush.
I like Vulcan. Hush. He's pretty cool. His all shoot these rockets.
We're not talking about Star Trek. We're not talking about.
I'll start a Final Fantasy, motherfucker.
Star Trek.
Final Fantasy 13, the Lightning Returns game. That's actually
no, very Vulcan thing. Is a god.
And
it's not just
in which the
I know, that's why I just included Smite.
There's a 10 damage spell. I think they nerfed it down to 8 damage, right? For being a mage. It's like flame something.
So Pyroblast is 10 damage and it takes 10 mana, so
right, and
they haven't nerfed it, but it's legit. But if you know that somebody has it in their deck, it definitely gives you inspiration to try to finish off the match before you get to 10 mana.
Right, but then if you know that's coming up, or if that's even in their deck, by then, as far as I can understand, unless he's able to know exactly who he's going up next, it doesn't matter. Because the fact of the matter is, it's still going to happen regardless. You're going in against this guy with this deck. And if you don't have an anti-pyroblast spell or pyroblast...
A counter spell, yeah.
Then you're either way.
Yeah. I mean, like, it goes both ways, right? Like, if I know but the other person doesn't know that I know what card they're going to get next, then I can kind of think ahead one more step, right? So, like, if I know you're going to get some death rattle, I may play something to counteract that. Or maybe save a card, right? I may save like a silence card for that major death rattle card coming up, right? So it just gives you an idea of what you could possibly do. One more that you previously didn't have. So I guess that is an advantage, right, in some type of way.
And it would kind of, like, I know there's also the like hidden cards that they have like a little effect. It's a, I don't
see secrets. Yeah.
Secret. That's it. And the whole thing is you don't know what that could be. That could be even like draw a single card. So that would be the only thing in which you could be like, okay, that's just a draw a card secret. So that's not anything that I'm going to be afraid of. So I'm going to attack freely anyways, because I have no fear of that secret kind of bite me in the ass. You know, it's not going to wipe out my best attacker or the next attacker or whatever a really good secret could do. So
yeah, sure. It's just like playing sports. Like, if you knew what the other team's playbook was, like, and you knew exactly, like, oh, they're going to run this play next, like, just because you know it doesn't necessarily mean you can stop them from scoring, but it definitely helps for you to set up, you know, to prevent it. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, I wish I could see, like, the program and fuck around with it, but I guess he won't release it, so.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about it. It's like, this is the quote from PC Gamer about it. He originally intended to release the predictive software to the public, but changed his mind after talking to Blizzard following the DEF CON presentation. He said the company is, quote, very enthusiastic and supportive, unquote, of his research, but are concerned that the advantage it offers to players using it could, quote, break the game balance. The software also provides replay functionality to help players improve the game, but the Hearthstone team told them that feature is already planned for a future release, making his subpar implementation unnecessary.
No, I think that subpar shit is to the replay, maybe, right? But not to his algorithm, obviously, right?
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like it's obvious they're working on things. And if I remember right, there's actually a PC update coming soon, like the iPad version's coming after that. Or I should say, like, the mobile version is coming after that. So they're working on the game as is. So they may be aware of such a thing and being able to be used and abused in certain ways. So, like, they may be teaching the coding. So at that time, maybe the algorithm will be pointless, because what it predicts is going to be predicting the last version of the game.
Yeah, sure. And if Blizzard is working on a replay system, like, I think that's very necessary and needed, and, like, very good for them for doing that. Because if I can go back and just watch, or just at least, like, see some data on the cards I were played in which order, like, I can just better prepare myself, right? If I lost in a certain way, I can look back and say, okay, you know what? I could have played this card, or, oh, I made this mistake here, or, like, oh, that was a really good play. I'll remember that next time. That's really awesome, so...
Well, not only that, but you can also use it in order to see other people's replays, in order to see, like, what kind of card combo
they run. And see their replays. Sure, right.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you're not cheating, like, that's but awesome. Then you're able to build off their strategy, or see, maybe that'd be something Blizzard can check out. It's like, a lot of people are running this one card, or these two or three card combos, and it turns out it's because they're incredibly overpowered. So, like, maybe we need to nerf these cards in a certain way, so then this is not the new meta.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Great talk, guys.
You just no.
I mean, we do what we can do, man. We gotta give the people the information they need.
Yeah.
I'm glad you joined us for it too. Yes. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
He added so much.
I just keep hearing the word hacking, like, so often between, like, the with Sony stuff and then, like, the Hollywood mainly actresses hacking.
Well, this was a Google exec, which was he was, like, bored enough that he was like, fuck, I like this game and I'm just gonna hack that shit.
I can't
right now
about releasing it, like, that would have been like a huge FU to Blizzard, it seems.
Oh, right, yeah, for sure.
That probably could have been a legal thing. That's probably why he was like, someone probably is like, dude, don't, you're gonna get us in trouble, we're gonna be in a huge legal battle if you do that, and you're gonna get fired and you're gonna be blacklisted for life.
Yeah, it seems like it would be kind of common sense. Like, you can't release that.
Slam on the brakes, stop, think what you're doing. You're going to be screwing yourself over because it's easily going to be found out that you did it.
Mm-hmm. Under his actual name, too. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That was a little, uh-oh. All
right, Vince, go ahead. You can take back control. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's all yours.
Oh, well, thank you for your permission, Mr. Hearthstone. I'm glad you got a Hearthstone story. We'll try to get a weekly Hearthstone story for you.
So man, it only makes our world better.
So we can appease you.
Oh, man. Appeasing me makes me smile.
Yeah. For the people listening, Marquise is a huge diva behind the scenes. Like, we have to do all this special stuff for him. He has to have all yellow.
Mr. Bug on the Wall.
He wants all yellow M&Ms. He wants roses, fresh roses. He has all these crazy demands.
Oh, wait. Hold on. There's a bug on the wall. I'll be right back. Hold on, guys. Just give me 2 minutes, and I'll get it.
Yeah. Go right ahead. Kill that bug.
You're in Rockford. You might have a possum on your wall.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
That's suffering right there.
Hold on, I got lunch on the wall. Let me kill this possum real quick.
Come here, boy. I'm going to eat you raw. Tail first.
Wait, our last story is Sega kind of blaming Gearbox. Directly blaming Gearbox for the Alien Colonial Marines marketing lawsuit.
I'm so sick of hearing about this game.
Marquise's favorite game.
So sick of hearing about it. I didn't even play it, but I hear this more than I hear about very, very good games. Like, every month there's a story about this fucking game. It's done. What is going on?
It's such a bad game, too. That's why I think that's what it seems like. Sega saying, nope, it was not us. We did not make this bad game. It was them. They did it. They're all behind it. It's Gearbox. We knew we didn't have anything to do with releasing this game early in any way, shape, or form. No. It wasn't us. It wasn't our poor marketing schemes or anything like that.
Blamed Randy Pitchford by name, too, didn't they?
I think they did.
So my thing is, why don't you believe that? Well, if Gearbox would lie to the public, why don't you think they would lie to the publisher?
Because the publisher is the one that makes the call about releasing the game, and they can actually see if the game is broken.
But the game they're seeing might not have been a real game.
So they could have a little bait and switch kind of thing.
At E3 and other places, they were saying, this is the game, this is the demo.
I think that would have happened.
But that wasn't the demo.
I think if that would have happened, then Sega would have been bringing up this lawsuit a long while back and not all of a sudden now. In which basically, as soon as the game released and everyone's going off, Sega would be like, guys, what did you give us? You did not give us this. You gave us something else. And then that's where Gearbox is kind of caught red-handed. I don't think that's what happened. I think Sega's just like, we don't give a shit. Release the game early. We don't care.
But it's not about the game releasing early. It's about them lying about the content of the game. That's the main problem.
So Sega was still being just, we don't give a shit? Like, they're just being kind of aloof about it?
Going by assuming or guessing that Sega is telling the truth, I don't. If Gearbox would lie to game critics and say, okay, this is the demo, this is level 5 of the game, this demo, this level isn't in the game at all. If they'll lie to game critics, they'll lie at E3. Why is it so crazy that they will lie to Sega?
Because they're the publisher, and it's usually Sega that's the one that has to do the publicity of it all. Very little is the developer have to do certain things. Gearbox got a lot of publicity, usually just because of one thing that was attached to them was, hey, ask what you're playing. When they got those two involved with their company, which the one guy became a writer for them. But even then, it's Sega just kind of starts to come off like it's a little obvious to me that, in my perception of this, that Sega's coming off as an asshole. I mean, look at the quote right there. It's Randy doing whatever the fuck he likes.
That's
a quote from fucking
a company
Sega.
Saying that.
Right there, it's actual legal right there. Effectively, it's Randy doing whatever the fuck he likes. Apparently, did it twice on Borderlands 2. Also, again, against all plans and despite the tact they asked him not to.
But wouldn't that lead credence to Sega if he's going off you know, off record, if he's going off what he's supposed to be saying, that he could be exaggerating, he could be Peter Molyneux-ing it up. Like, goes either way. I think that could be saying this guy's freaking Peter Molyneux-ing. Like, he's not supposed to be saying this stuff. He's saying it.
Molyneux-ing.
Yeah.
For sure. I think this is, like, just Sega's, like, we're not holding the bag on this. Like, we are cutting ties completely. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, right, you could just rest assured that Sega would never do anything with Gearbox again after this. And vice versa,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because this is, like, way too public, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But for you to go this hard publicly, like, I lend myself to you're either the most, like, bold-faced liar, or you're just 100% standing on fact, right? Like, no, this is all him, and we have no problem just coming out and saying it.
Mm.
So, I mean, if that's the case, if it is, like, this doesn't look good for Gearbox at all, like,
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of things. Well, a lot of things don't look good for Gearbox. But I think the problem is, even if everyone's telling the truth, like even if Sega's telling the truth, they're still the fault either way lies on both companies. Because Gearbox lied about
and Sega didn't do the
Sega didn't double, triple, quadruple check to make sure what was going on, and they put their name on it. So either way, sure. Both companies are at fault. Even no matter which side you believe.
But for
me, it's more Gearbox.
No, I agree. And I think what Sega's trying to do was, like, just trying to nuke them one more time so that they could say, like, look, we may have not a bit benefited financially from it, but you won't benefit financially forever thereafter. Like, we'll be okay because we're Sega and we still make decent titles. And publishers.
Were you joking?
Yeah, I mean, like, Sega, don't they still publish, like, all the 2K series, right? Or is 2K still, like, affiliated with Sega? Or are they, like, branched off now? 2K, oh, they're done? Okay.
2K is 2K.
Yeah.
2K is 2K. Oh, okay. Well, then I rescind that comment.
They have Sonic and some other stuff, but yeah.
I rescind that comment then. But at least I think Sega has a brand name, right, that's more lasting right now in the industry than Gearbox is. Even though Gearbox
fan, but I think it's more likely Sega would go out of business for Gearbox, even though I don't like Gearbox all that much.
No, I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is, like, as an industry household name, somebody would know what Sega is before knew what Gearbox is.
But they would know who Atari is more so than Rockstar, but that still doesn't mean Atari is more powerful than Rockstar.
No, sure. But, I mean, at this point, do you think after this colonial bullshit, marine bullshit, like, do you feel like Gearbox is powerful? Like,
yeah, I think most of the blame went to Sega. I think maybe that's why they're doing this.
Feel like a lot of blame on the internet went to Randy directly. I remember his Twitter feed, like, just getting hit up for weeks
seeing Sega's aliens, blah, blah, blah. I kept seeing Sega mentioned just as much, if not more, than Gearbox from the articles I saw.
So that's the thing we've talked about before, in which the publisher is the face of it all, not the developer. Gearbox was not the one that, you know, I kind of agree with you, Vince, before you said both companies are to blame here, but I think Sega more so, because it seems like Sega's trying to save face, in which case I want to see this happen. It's either, to me, this is only two things are going to happen. One, Sega's going to be caught horribly in this, and they're going to owe a shitload of money because Gearbox could countersue them for trying to sully their name. Or Randy Pitchford could directly, because by saying it's Randy doing what the fuck he likes. And that's could be considered, you know, bad publicity, in which they
slander.
Slander. Thank you. It could be simply them just attacking him directly, which is not good legally. In which either.
But the thing is, though, real quick on that, that's a quote from an email that happened about 2 years ago.
Still. It's still Sega by saying that. It doesn't matter who in Sega, it's still the face of Sega. And that's the problem. And I get a feeling it's more likely going to be Sega hitting this, because Sega does not, you know, they can be known as more so than Gearbox. But I think as far as positive versus negative, yes, Sega's more known than Gearbox, but Sega has a lot more negativity than Gearbox does. I mean, Gearbox, they have Borderlands, the sequel, prequel, or whatever. That's coming up. So they have more positivity behind them than Sega does. I mean, look what Sega's doing to their most iconic character of all time, Sonic. Everyone's looking at the design like, what are you guys thinking? It's sad to think, like, games, a company such as Capcom and Sega don't know what to do with their iconic characters. And Nintendo, of all people, it's like, oh, we'll take, you know, Mega Man? Yeah, sure, we'll do with him. Oh, yeah, it turns out he's going to be one of the most popular characters in this new game coming up. Sonic? Oh, yeah, we'll refresh him and we'll use the fuck out of him. It took them God knows how many games for them to get even remotely right what to do with Sonic. Sega has just kind of gone ass up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Sega went away like Atari pretty much has over in the next 5 years.
I think this lawsuit could be like the point in which they're like, you know what, Sega's gone next year, or at least die.
You know what?
I doubt that.
Whoever sends out or whoever starts litigation first, like, I still feel like the people who made the game, who show the game, it's not Sega out there showing the game. It's still Gearbox. And then for Gearbox to then be like, hey, this is the finished product and we didn't do anything to it, when, I mean, clearly it's not the same product, right? Like, I mean, that's, yes, Sega definitely holds responsibility, but it's more like a 60-40, like, definitely Gearbox. Like, I mean, you guys were showing something that was not what finished. So what happened? Just give an explanation. If you can't, then it's like, yeah, you hold the bag, the more weight of it, the weighted
side of it. Well, that's the problem. Who is holding the bag? I mean, they could have said, we're not done. We need more time. And Sega's like, we put too much money into this, guys. Get it out now. And this problem, we don't know. I think this trial could be the whole thing that pointing out, hey, we told Sega it needed like another 3 to 6 months, and Sega said, nope, release it. And Sega's saying, oh, no, we didn't. And then the paperwork comes out. They find out, yeah, Sega just said, release it. We don't care if it's busted. We need our money back pronto.
If that was the case, I think someone would have said something at Gearbox before it is. And they're saying that these levels were in the game, but they weren't in the game. If they're in the game, they're in the game.
Who's saying that?
Well, when they were showing demos.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, who said that? Was it Sega or Gearbox?
Gearbox.
So Gearbox was one saying, these ones will be in the game. Are you sure that's what was stated? And the whole fact of one matter was, Game Review is saying that what we played was not in the final version.
From what I remember, at Gearbox being at E3 and different, you know, conferences throughout the year or two of promotion before, it was like a Gearbox employee like showing off the demo.
Well, that's the demo. That's just Gearbox showing up. It's not them saying, yeah, this
is. But they were saying that this is in the game. They're not finished. They were saying that this level is in the game, but it wasn't in the game.
Well, the same thing we said of Watch Dogs. That's a problem. It depends on what's going on with the developer and publisher. The developer does not get to say, yeah, release it. It's done. Because then it still relies on the publisher to say, okay, let's see it.
Yeah, this but it's also you're saying like this is the current or last build of the game. This level is in it, but when the game actually comes out, the AI is worse. The health for the enemies is different. The graphics are different. Everything's basically different, and that level wasn't in the game. Like, I think that's a pretty big difference. You know, basically everything changed. What you showed wasn't in the game. That's why they were sued and lost the lawsuit to begin with.
But that again falls on Sega. Let's look at to kind of use a similar game that's going on right now that's going to be released for PS4 and Xbox One, and that's Minecraft. The PS4 version was finished. The final version was sent off to Sony to test it out. Sony said it's not done yet. So they sent it back to Mojang, so they can work on it and finally make it. I guess the Xbox One version is done. Microsoft got it, and they checked it out, and it's done. It's going to be out, I think it already came out, or it's coming out in like a few days or something like that. So therein lies right there. The publisher, not the developer, should be the one going, okay, let's check this out. Let's make sure it is actually finished. We need to have our own quality assurance team in order to check this out, because guess what? Our name's attached to this. If it's fucked up, whether or not, we can say, we're not releasing this until you guys finish this, until it meets our seal of approval. It needs to meet our quality. If it does not pass the bar, we're not selling it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Marquis or I are saying Sega's some innocent victim in this. But since Gearbox is the one that actually made it, I still think it falls on them. To me, that's almost like if I was a parent, I had a kid, he wrote an awful report, everything's misspelled, he got all the history facts wrong, but the teacher gave him an A+. I go to the teacher and say, why did you give him an A+? You know, to me, it falls on both of them. It's not just one or the other.
Right, but at the same time, like, that's where you go after the kids, like, all right, you're doing this again, like, that is almost a little bit different situation because you do go up to the kid, do it again. That'd be the right thing to do. But then that's whole parenting kind of thing. With this, Gearbox, by law, they probably couldn't say anything of like how the release status was because Sega would be like, don't say anything. Legally, you cannot say anything about this, about us releasing it early. Maybe they knew that it was released early. And that's the thing, we don't know because neither of us works at Gearbox. Even if we did, we could not say one way or the other without going to jail pretty much or being sued and blacklisted left and right whether or not the game was released too early. If it was released willingly by both companies or by one, you know, the other, who knows? We don't know what happened with the final
copy. Yeah.
But I feel like that's just a big jump to think that even Sega would honestly say, like, push this game out regardless, right?
Really?
Like, I feel like that is done. That could be done. But the game was in such a state already, right, that why would the publisher sink so much money into it to then not only release it, but release it broken? Like, that.
While showing off a different version of the game.
Right. Like that's way too much responsibility, I think, for the publisher to take on. Like, a publisher typically goes, hey, they get pitched a game from a developer and they go, okay, we'll back your game. Like, however much money you need, go ahead and finish it. And the developer continues to take the money and develop the game. And then once it gets to a place where it's like, hey, the game is ready, the publisher reviews it, I'm sure, and then goes, all right, we're ready to go. We're ready to print. Like, let's do it. But, like, why go through the charade to just put out a broken game and then lose the money on the back end, too, from the publisher? Like, I feel like there was something that was misconstrued or not presented as truthfully in Gearbox.
With Sega's kind of history, I mean, if you look, there's – I cannot remember the exact Sonic name because they're all Sonic, you know, Adventures 2 or whatever. There was one – it was just seen as one of the worst design games ever because, like, you could actually – just simply walk on the walls or upside down because that's what it was scripted as. They released it pretty much broken. The game was so glitchy. Everyone's like, how could you, like, what quality assurance was done for this game? Was there any at all? It was just so glitchy and buggy, and some people couldn't even finish the game because of how problematic it was. And that was a Sonic game. So that's Sega's itself. So I mean,
but again, like you said, it's Sega's itself. Like, it wasn't another investment that they didn't know what was being developed in house, right?
But still,
like,
that says right there, they have a history almost of letting games be released that are known to be, or they should know that are buggy, problematic, and simply unfinished. I mean,
I don't know. Like, I mean, again, like Gearbox, Borderlands. If anybody's played Borderlands, like, there are some weird glitches in that game too.
Well,
so I mean, like, that. I mean, and that's a matter of like playing video games. Like, there's always going to be bugs, but like, this is just basically like we present one thing and put out something else, and that's a huge jump for. I mean, again, it's totally plausible. Like, Sega's not a uber successful company anymore, so like, hey, we can do this bait and switch where we can get a whole bunch of money and then like get away with it, but like. At some point, like, a developer, this is your standard that you're setting. This is your game. You made this, right? That if someone came to me and was like, why don't you write some bullshit? Like, at some point, it's still my bullshit. My name is on it, you know, no matter if it's published at a huge journalistic site or not. Like, it's still my name on it. So, like, why would Sega, like... Yeah, I mean, if Gearbox didn't do it, they wouldn't have done it. Like,
well,
if looking at movies, like if a movie director makes a bad movie, it can be on them, or sometimes it can be on the studio. But if it is on the studio, then they usually come out and say, like, hey, this isn't the final cut. Just like I think that was the case with Noah and Aronofsky. Like, he was just like, this isn't, you know, they kind of edited for test audiences and blah blah blah.
Right.
Like, they usually, the creative person will come out and say, like, they changed my vision. It's not just they ruined it and the person stays quiet.
If they're allowed to, though. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be seen like I'm defending Sega or Gearbox at all. I'm just saying legally, like, Sega could be like, nope, you cannot say anything in regards to the release of this game. And that happens a lot, in which it's like, okay, the game's gonna be released, don't say anything about it. You can't.
Well, I guess we'll see when this lawsuit progresses. Yeah. I don't have a horse in this race because I don't really care about either company. It's just looking at this article and like looking at that email, it seemed like they were pissed off at him before the game. This is in 2002 when the game even came out. So
something's been festering. Something wasn't right. Something was amiss. Yeah.
All right. So I think it'll be time to wrap up. what you want to do is head on over to entertainmentfuse.com every week. That's where you're going to be able to find Digital High. For previous episodes of Digital High, we always link to our iTunes page. To get a hold of us, make sure you go to Twitter. It's at Digital High Show. No underscores or spaces or nothing like that. And I believe that to be it. Right, guys? No final words? Nothing like that at all?
Nope.
I don't know. You want to insult the listeners again, Vince?
When did I insult them?
You want to tell them not to be stupid and not rate us? You want to tell them about that one more time?
I'll do it next week.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'll insult you in 7 days, people. Okay.
We're counting Save it down. All right. That's it for this week. Stay tuned for next week's episode of Digital High, your source for entertainment news and discussion.
Dope. We'll be right back.